Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And you know, I love all my guests. I get excited when I talk to all my guests, but I gotta tell you, I woke up this morning thinking, oh my gosh, I get to talk to Sebastian today. Because we're just gonna have so much fun. And I'm hoping that people just love hearing what Sebastian has to say. So please join me in welcoming Sebastian Watzinger to our program today. Welcome, Sebastian.
Hi, welcome, Deb. Thank you so much, Deb. I'm glad I'm here. Really nice to talk to you.
It's great. So let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we will dive into this. So Sebastian Watzinger is a composer, writer, and educator. He's been a composer and music producer for over 20 years. His music has been featured in the global McDonald's I'm Lovin' It campaign on NBC, National Geographic, Sky, and is being synced thousands of times on TV every year. Since 2014, Sebastian has been writing and producing for several different production music publishers worldwide. That has helped him understand and write music for a wide spectrum of music, genres, and situations focused on the usage in film and TV. His music has since been featured daily on TV in Europe, North, and South America. So again, Sebastian, welcome.
Thank you. It sounds impressive.
I know. Isn't it always fun when we hear our own bios? We're like, ooh, I like those people.
Yes, and read so well as well.
Mm-hmm. I know. So I always like to know how my guests got to where they are today. And I think your story is going to be wonderful because, you know, not a lot of people actually go, I can be an artist. I really can do this. So tell us about how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been making music my whole life. I started with the flute, which every kid does in Germany, where I'm from originally. And then I got to play piano, and my main instrument basically is drums.
Okay.
But I always was a little bored playing other people's music. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create something from nothing. Mm-hmm. So the exploration started when my dad brought home our first PC. First computer. Mm-hmm. And with it came a program that which you could record with and play some notes in. Mm-hmm. And I started and I was like, okay, this is something that I'm really interested in. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I did internships in advertising agencies and not even music production houses back then. But then I started my first company when I was 17.
Wow.
And we did music for like events and like custom music for events and smaller brand films and stuff like that. And then I, through a internship I was in Germany, I got to know a company in LA that did music for another big commercial campaign. Mm-hmm. And then I went there and asked them, do you have interns? Do you take interns? And they were laughing at me and saying, no, I never asked. No one ever asked us this. And I'm like, okay, well, you know,
I'm
whatever.
Asking.
I'm just asking. And a couple of weeks later, they called me back and said, okay, you can come. We don't pay anything. Just get yourself into a flight and we pick you up at the airport and then we go from there. Mm-hmm. And so I went to LA, 23 years old, not very good at English at the time. So it was like a big adventure. Mm-hmm. So worked at the Paramount lot, which was an exciting, of course, LA in itself was very exciting back then. And then they hired me when I was back in Germany, hired me as a freelance composer and then hired me as a on-staff composer. Mm-hmm. And I did like TV shows, animated stuff, lots of commercials. Mm-hmm. And basically learned for 3 years with them the skills and everything necessary for being able to work as a composer.
Okay.
And this was like such a wide world that opened up for me. Mm-hmm. And then I got let go. I had to open up my own studio, did that. Mm-hmm. And then from then on up, I just like kept on going through many valleys, mm-hmm. but also lots of successes. And I'm now like, doing this for over 20 years, as you said, and just loving it. It's mm-hmm. like, it's incredible how doing what you love mm-hmm. actually sets you free
right.
to be the person you want to be. Mm-hmm. So this mm-hmm. is really, really cool.
Right.
Yeah. Not an easy process, but we're here.
No. So did you have any formal music training aside mm-hmm. from the flute when you were a little boy?
So I had training, but not formal okay. in the sense of like college or anything.
Okay.
I wanted to go to college mm-hmm. when I came back from LA, mm-hmm. but I had 3 options in the UK. Mm-hmm. But then I said, okay, no, I can do it on my own. Mm-hmm. I don't need anyone to tell me what to compose. I just mm-hmm. need more experience in the actual business.
Okay.
And this is what I did. I mm-hmm. just said no to these college mm-hmm. things. And then I just went on my own.
Right. I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think now I want to play a little sample of your music because it is just gorgeous. And it's on your website. You've got several different pieces on there, but I want to mm-hmm. play just part of this one. And I was mesmerized by it. I just thought it was so pretty.
Thank you.
And it's called Spirit. Now, before I started,
yeah.
What did you write this for?
So this was an opening sequence for a movie.
Okay.
I'll probably tell you more about after because I want to hear what the people think when they listen to it.
Okay. But yeah. Okay. I'm going to play it. Oh gosh. I mean, it's funny. I was just going to play a portion of that and it was so pretty. I thought, you know, I have to play the entire clip.
Thank you.
To me, music tells stories. I mean, mm-hmm, that is exactly what it's for. And so I see this as, you know, it's obviously an adventure, you know, an mm-hmm. adventure type of movie is what I'm thinking. And I'm almost seeing horses, you know, so that's what I'm seeing. Oh, yay!
It's about one horse.
Okay.
Exactly. And this horse is going over the prairie uh-huh. and just galloping. And mm-hmm. yeah, this is what we had to bring with this music. Yeah. It's great that it does the trick. Yeah, awesome.
And I promise, you know, to everybody who's you know, listening or watching this, I didn't know that before. I mean, but I really did. I saw the horse. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I am from Colorado. And so, you know, but yeah,
it's
I saw the horse going out across, you know, and mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, it just, so I mean, this just brings so many questions. I mean, obviously, you told a great story. I mean, you know, we got it right away. Now, it could have been something different, but it was obviously the adventure, and you have the build in there. So I want to talk about the process. Mm-hmm. So when someone comes to you and says, Sebastian, we've got this movie. We need, you know, songs composed for it. Mm-hmm. What is the process? Do you read the script? Do you wait till after it's been filmed and then you put the music to that? I mean, how do you go about all of this?
So, I mean, it depends mostly on the timeline when the movie or commercial is going to be presented or it has to be finished.
Okay.
And normally a composer gets into the game very late.
Okay.
So in commercials, for example, it's like, oh, we need music for this commercial. or we call Sebastian. Mm-hmm. Can you do this until tomorrow morning? And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So this is not basically, but yeah, 80% is like this. Movies is a little different. And I did a theater play just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I had only the script because I couldn't score because the show wasn't ready. So I had to score from script. 2.5 hours of score just from script and back and forth with the director. Mm-hmm. So I love any part of the process, but I think the earlier I get into, get it put into the project, the earlier the better I can actually help develop the musical language.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and because I can also see where, you know, where the music helps, you know, truly guide the story. Mm-hmm. You know, there you've got the building, you've got the suspense, you've got all of those things. And so the actors, you know, assuming that they can hear some of this or, you know, at least the producer and the director, they know, oh, okay, this is, you know, to match the music, we need you to do this.
Yes. So there are many famous there are a couple of famous composers like in Hollywood that where the process is actually turned around, but the director gives them only an idea or a word. They compose like 30 minutes of a suite of music. Mm-hmm. And then the director goes in and says, okay, what kind of picture do I see to this music? Mm-hmm. So they turn the whole thing around, which I actually really like. This is like good, cool thing. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, because like we said, the music tells the story.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, so many things. That is the thing. You know, I'm going to date myself here, but Jaws. I think Jaws is probably one of the most famous soundtracks where when you hear, I mean, all you have to hear is dun, dun.
Yeah, just
two. And you're like, oh.
Yes. It's crazy, right?
You know, and you know, it's an integral part of the process. Do you ever work with the writers when they're creating it? Or is it you come along a little bit further?
I come along when they are already in production.
Okay.
So with the writers, especially for TV shows, they are so busy. They don't have time to talk to anyone. They have to write and write and write and write. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming in. I mean, I can come in before. Mm-hmm. But the writing process, when they write the script or something, I haven't been involved yet. And it's more produce. My point persons are producers and directors, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Or agency, like the account manager of the agency. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, right. When you're doing for commercials and things like that. So do you do this all on computer? Or do you have instruments that you're also...
So... This what you just heard, Spirit, is like only internal. Mm-hmm. There's no external not external instruments or anything. But of course, as far as I can and the budget allows, I always try to find some kind of either a voice or a cello or any kind of like instrument that has this human touch. Mm-hmm. This elevates the whole piece very much. And I always like to... take my people that I don't play myself. Mm-hmm. I have people that will record this for me, a great network of people. And I always try to also convince my clients to have a little tiny budget for a real player. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because as good as computers are, there are somehow, and it seems like, I was going to say, especially with the stringed instruments, but it's with anything, even, and even voice, it is that human touch that that elevates it, and it's funny how the same piece played by two different people sounds very different.
Interpretation is very important, and also these little tiny mistakes and a little bit of room noise and all this makes it much more lively and much more, I don't know, yeah, connects more to the heart, I think. If it's right. More, I mean, the plugins and stuff that I used, all the internal instruments are really, I mean, they're getting better every day.
Right. Yeah. I never would have known that piece that I just played was entirely computer generated.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's great what it can do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is also a couple of years old already, mm-hmm. but we are going to record something in LA, like a piece of mine in LA in 2 weeks or so. And this is just so exciting because it adds like so much humanness and so much another dimension to a piece when you have an orchestra play your stuff.
Right. This is just incredible. Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially when you have a full orchestra. I mean, there is nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It's just, it was funny, before the program, I asked you what your favorite piece of the examples were. Mm-hmm. And I said, it is kind of like, picking your favorite child. And I guess yes. It would be like that. I mean, these are truly your creations now when you compose, so you write all the music on the computer. You're not mm-hmm. okay. So you write.
I can hardly read music. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know when I look at a score, what happens.
Okay.
But I write it all internally in the computer with a keyboard. I play it like a piano, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and also drums and stuff like that.
Oh, how fun! And,
yeah, exactly. So yeah, this is it's all by ear. Okay. And don't write anything down. Mm-hmm. I have also people, if you need orchestra, I ship my stuff over to them and they write it mm-hmm. out so people can read it. Yeah.
I love that. That is so cool. Mm-hmm. And it is, to me, it is just fascinating, as I was saying, as to how this process goes. Mm-hmm. And clearly you're writing, you're contracted to write these pieces.
Yes.
Do you still just write to write? Or do you have time? I mean, maybe that's the thing.
I like the combination of moving picture and music.
Okay.
And I like to be inspired by the picture mm-hmm. or by a mm-hmm. medium.
Okay.
If it's a script mm-hmm. or and it's much easier for me to actually write something with someone in collaboration together, like a producer, writer, director, mm-hmm. than for myself. And since I have a list of projects that just have to be done. Mm-hmm. And I also like to have a family life, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I sometimes just say, okay, now I'm just...
So just to sit down and write a song is like, I'd rather go play.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because it's also business, it's also my work. So mm-hmm. it's a little bit... I made my hobby to my business... converted it to business so that I don't have a hobby anymore. Cooking, maybe.
That is interesting because it is your work. And so to just sit down and, create something for fun, it's like,
But, for me, this is business, but it's also so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
To create something for mm-hmm. someone or for a medium or something, mm-hmm. so.
Right. Well, and, to hear that, I mean, when it is done and recorded, mm-hmm. and especially then to see it pieced together with the movie, the TV program, whatever, yes. and to really see how it all ties together. I mean, that mm-hmm. must just be fantastic.
It's fantastic. But you know what? What's even more fantastic, if a client says to me, okay, you really found what the key of this or the heart of the story is and put it into music, we could mm-hmm. end the music. I hear people say this to me, the music actually made the difference mm-hmm. from a good movie to a great movie.
Right.
And this is what I'm mm-hmm. striving for, to mm-hmm. actually make my clients or my collaborators, I would say, happy mm-hmm. and make the whole project better with what I can deliver mm-hmm. to it. Right. Yes.
And of course, it's interesting. Silence, is always a key part of that too. Mm-hmm. And that helps build the dramatic moment, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then, when you start having the music building, I mean, that just, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I love music so much. Sometimes I get to listening more to the music, but it's always, it tells you what's coming up. Like if you're watching a television program, you can tell by the music, commercial's coming.
Right? Yes, totally. It builds, and then... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here we go, commercials.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's always fun. But mm-hmm. when you think of especially movies that mm-hmm. are outstanding movies. It is, you know, due in large part, I mean, obviously the acting, the script, all of those things are very mm-hmm. important, but the music truly is what you hear from it. And you know, and that's what's, and you know, we hear, you know, theme songs that catch on and mm-hmm. you know, go independent and things like that. But yeah, it's just, you wouldn't have, you know, it'd be there, but the music really, truly pulls it all together.
Yeah. And it's also great. I mean, if you hear sometimes music without the picture, you sometimes get back, mm-hmm. like transferred back to the moment when you watched it. You right. actually know where you are in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I think this is like a good sign of good quality music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you can connect your experience mm-hmm. in the movie mm-hmm. with the music itself. Mm-hmm. I think this is really great. And I think also like soundtracks got a really big mm-hmm. push when people like Hans Zimmer or mm-hmm. Even John Williams, when they play their music to picture in a big concert building. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they do like world tours now with like full orchestra mm-hmm. and stuff and have like a huge fan base. And I think this is that everyone could... Every movie composer like me benefits from that because mm-hmm. this sound, I know many people that just say, I'm just listening to soundtracks, mm-hmm. not pop music in mm-hmm. this sense. And I don't listen to soundtracks anymore, but because I listen to my own music all day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I really like the idea of that music is such an important part and now it gets like pushed even more. Mm-hmm. I love right. it. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I you know really want to do is to go to say the Atlanta Orchestra when they're mm-hmm. you know playing at the same time as the music is playing.
Yes.
I would imagine that is just glorious.
Yes, I never been to a concert like this, but I saw videos of that, and it's mm-hmm. like, and I heard people say mm-hmm. what the experience was like, and it's of course right. it's great. Mm-hmm. This full like. Mm-hmm. medium, all everything at once. That's amazing. Yeah, and see the player's life. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, I've talked to people who have done those and they end mm-hmm. up closing their eyes and doing exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. They know mm-hmm. what they're, you know, they know what the movie is. And so they just want to absorb the music.
Yes. That's great. Yeah. I love it.
So now you mentioned the word collaborate. Do you ever collaborate with other musicians or are you pretty much independent?
So I have lots of musicians and composer friends that I collaborate with.
Okay.
Because I think in general, when you collaborate, you create something better. Mm-hmm. That's also true for business. If you have like good input from other people
right.
And can like put ideas out there and mm-hmm. they give you good feedback, mm-hmm. that's always great. Mm-hmm. And I think you sometimes even you're in your project and like in there for like a week, mm-hmm. you need someone to say, this doesn't sound good or mm-hmm. this sounds great. And mm-hmm. because you just so much like focused on mm-hmm. I don't know getting to the finish line mm-hmm. yeah so I collaboration is like one of my main key components mm-hmm. I think of my success I mm-hmm. think yeah
so how does that work I mean do you mm-hmm. write like the first part then they write or
yeah
you know it's that's you know it's different for me when we collaborate because you know we look at things we go oh you know that would be a, you know a different shade of blue or let's do mm-hmm. this or you yes. know but something so that's obviously very visual so mm-hmm. but something auditory I mean I how do you how does that process I mean, work
my collab the people I collaborate with mm-hmm. they have kind slightly different skill sets. So mm-hmm. some of them are singers and okay. also compose music, but can't produce it or won't produce it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So basically they sing and play something with the piano, give it to me, and I just make the whole arrangement.
Okay. So then you add everything to it.
Yes, exactly. Wow. Or I have nowadays with technology, it's like mm-hmm. we send sessions like our projects or mm-hmm. like our actual things from the computer, send it to someone else. Mm-hmm. They open it up and add tiny things here and there.
Okay.
It's like, if you have a photo and it has to be touched up,
mm-hmm. right.
basically this kind of process. Okay. And then of course you have all the people that mix the music, mm-hmm. which is a whole other level, you mm-hmm. know, when you have a good mixer mm-hmm. and master it. And then of course, like the whole other part of the audio experience in a movie is like the sound in itself, like mm-hmm. effects and mm-hmm. tone from the set and stuff like that, dialogue. And yeah, so this is like a whole community of like, everyone has his little specialty, and so we collaborate together.
I love it. Now, when you're starting a project, or even when you're, you know, in the middle of it, do you hear it in your head first, or does it just kind of start flowing out?
So I feel the more inspired the actual movie is or the commercial is, the more I can hear the music beforehand, before I sit down. It's funny. Sometimes they're like commercials, especially where you're like, this has to be this music. Mm-hmm. And then you sit down and try to find what you're actually hearing in your head on the piano or drums or whatever you choose. And then, but like, I would say like 70% of my workflow is like, I get a movie or a picture, whatever it is, sit down and let it play and then play to it and see what fits, right?
Right, yeah. Because then you know it should soar here. It should be quiet here. All of those things.
And I also like the input of the director producer at this point, because they have been with the project like at least like 6 weeks longer than me, or even longer, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they have a very, I like to work with people that have a clear vision for what they want. Mm-hmm. And me being more the service provider in a sense. And
because you don't want to be doing dramatic music when it was supposed to be kind of humorous.
Exactly. You know, I should be able to read this from the movie or from the picture. But
every once in a while, you're like, is that sarcasm? It's kind of like, you know, when somebody says, now, is that sarcasm?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then, I mean, all that, what you talked about, like silence, this is also like, I mean, this is, I like if they leave it to me to see where the, where music is and where music isn't. But normally these days all movies are temped. So the temp means they have music for editing. And then they say, do something like this.
Okay.
Capture the style and the atmosphere that it creates. So,
Yeah, because I'm sure it helps, you know, like the temporary music, that kind of helps them to set the scene. But then they obviously want the original music.
Yeah, because they, you know, they can't just use any music.
Right.
They can just take music and use it for the movie. They have to recreate it or buy the rights to the music.
Right.
And sometimes it's cheaper to hire me than to buy, let's say.
Oh, yeah. Especially if it's a very popular song, or it depends on who wrote it. You know, we've all seen movies with, say, you know, songs by the Beatles in them.
Yes.
Or, you know, that ain't cheap.
It's quite expensive. Yes. Mm-hmm. I can do a couple of movies for what the Beatles get.
Right. For one song. In,
exactly. Exactly.
You're getting there. You're getting there. We know that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, for somebody who's listening and going, I think I could do this. What tips would you have for them?
So probably first and most important thing is that you have to be clear about what you actually want to achieve with your music career. And then also try to get in to making money with music as soon as possible.
Right.
That's
the difference between the hobby and
Absolutely. So for me, it was like I had like years of like doing landscaping and even housekeeping jobs and anything else but music, and wanted to build a business with music, but didn't have the time. And then also
kind of like how we hear actors have been waiters and things like that.
Exactly. Exactly this story. Yeah. And then at one point I decided, okay, no, when I want to make this a business, I want to make money and like a living from my music, I have to stop doing other jobs and just take this leap of faith and say, it will be okay. I had no money saved up. I was just newly wed, basically.
Oh, dear. I bet your wife thought that was great.
Yes, but she's your freelancer as well. So we're in the same boat there, so which is good.
You understood each other.
Yes. This is why I think get along very well, because we come from the same background. Yeah, but I think know what you want and then also try to get money from what you actually want as soon as possible.
I love that.
Don't try to subsidize for a long time. Just, set a goal there.
Right. So you actually have written, and it's short, it's a short little ebook on the 5 daily habits to grow your music royalties to 6 figures. Folks, you can do this with 6 figures.
Yes.
And so kind of what are, I mentioned at the very start, you're also an educator. So this is the educator part of you, right?
Yes, exactly.
So what are the 5 daily habits?
I have to look them up myself.
Okay. So I'll give them to you. The first one is read. How to be creative.
Yes. So it's basically something some people are very scared by a blank page. Uh-huh. But I think it's I have a link in this ebook where it mm-hmm. leads to an article where he writes about how to be mm-hmm. creative. And I think mm-hmm. it's more about sitting down every day mm-hmm. and just don't judge your work just now.
Okay.
Just get in the habit of mm-hmm. actually writing music every day.
Okay.
And this makes you getting better. Mm-hmm. And also from that, you get more, experience, but also inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you get to know your gear better and your mm-hmm. plugins and your whole workflow.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I'll just say what the 5 are. So then 2 is watch. 3 is listen. 4 is use. As you were saying, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And then 5 is to actually do.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things I tell people, I always get the question, we want to be a podcaster, but.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are, let's see, podcasts that I've done, 766. So clearly I've been doing this a while.
Yes.
I don't think I would go back and listen to those first ones for anything. Mm-hmm. I don't take them down. Because they're great guests and things like that. But the second we wait for perfection, it's never going to get done.
So true. None of my tracks is perfect. Mm-hmm. Not one of them. I like to listen to a couple of them more than others. Mm-hmm. But I'm at the point where I say it has to be good enough for this project.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it depends on how perfectionist the director is or the producer. Mm-hmm. And of course, in commercials especially, they have mm-hmm. like these huge expectations that the sound is like a song that has been produced for a year. You have to recreate mm-hmm. in a night.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk to like directors that actually know the process,
mm-hmm.
they don't ask too much from you. So it feels sometimes like this way, but they know mm-hmm. what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think perfection is actually a deal breaker and mm-hmm. it's also like killing creativity.
Right.
You won't be perfect. Mm-hmm. You're not made. Mm-hmm. You're made perfect, mm-hmm. but you're not going to be achieve perfection mm-hmm. with everything you do.
Right.
So just be like very, have a lot of grace for yourself mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when you create and just be very, be humble about it, but also be have grace and then just do it. Right.
I love it. Do you ever, when you're done, are you done? Or do you ever go back and listen to things to see?
So the first 10 years I did this mm-hmm. and said, okay, I could have done this better. I could have done this better. And then I stopped and said, okay, no, I have to focus on the future, not on the past so much. And of course, I can learn from my mistakes mm-hmm. in other projects.
Right.
And I want to take this learning to my next project,
mm-hmm.
but I want to make the next project the best project. Mm-hmm. And not trying to get back to my mm-hmm. old. I mean, if I would go back to my archive, mm-hmm. I would like have like 10,000s of tracks that I could finish.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just practice stuff,
right?
Mm-hmm. It all makes you better.
What's it like when you're like flipping through the TV channels and you come across something that you wrote?
You know what's funny? I never watch TV really.
Okay.
Sometimes on YouTube I hear people commenting on stuff on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear my music on YouTube in TV.
Oh.
So this is kind of weird, but mm-hmm. it's really cool.
I wrote that.
Exactly. But it was more accelerating like earlier in my career. Now I'm like, I care about mm-hmm. what my music is used for mm-hmm. and how it is used, but mm-hmm. The relationship to the people that actually mm-hmm. want to have music is much more important to me than my own success. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like success and money mm-hmm. and all that stuff. It's mm-hmm. all good, but
Right. Well, and it's different than, say, a performing musician. Someone who's singing. Exactly. Who, you know, concert after concert after concert, they're playing the exact same songs. Mm-hmm. And I always think it's kind of funny, you know, when you know, they're interviewed at some point and they're like, I don't ever want to play that song again. But it's also fun because a lot of times they will do it a little bit different every single time they perform.
Yes.
Just to, to kind of keep things live. And,
exactly.
You know, when I was in college, I was in a performing theater group and we performed the same thing over and over and over every weekend. And we would do something different every single time.
Awesome.
Just to keep, you know, sometimes it was a different line. Sometimes you stood in a different place. Sometimes you had to because, you know, the set, you know, just forced you to do that. But, you know, we tried to do it differently so that it didn't come across as being just repetitive. You know, I've done this 500 times type of thing.
I think this is like an amazing skill if you can keep it up for 500 times.
I know.
And still... because I think the audience is only as engaged as you are when performing live. And I think the same goes, of course, for musicians and stuff like that, people like that. But for me, it's like I have to create it and it goes into the film and I can touch it again.
So this is like it's difference. Done. You know, done's done.
It's like, which makes it my life much easier because I don't have to redo it so many times.
Right. Know? So, you know, if we're talking to folks who might think, you know, I want to do this. Maybe they've started doing this. What are reasons why people don't make music or don't make money with their music?
I think it's, of course, a mindset thing. And I think they get to go to college, pay a lot of money to go to college, but don't get taught how to actually approach the business side of things. I have maybe one class or one semester where they have a couple of classes where they talk about general business ideas and how business works. But I think the music market has a wide spectrum of opportunities and you don't have to be like just one. I mean, you should focus, but you should also be able to sustain yourself with what you want to do most, right? Music in this case. So I think the business side is very much underrated. And as an artist, you get told, one thing is that you get told when you're starving, you're also more creative. And I'm like, that might be true, but it doesn't help you really. Or you don't want to sell out if you make money. So they basically block themselves from success in a financial sense.
Right. You know, like somebody might say, you know, to a musician, writing, you know, jingles for ads. A true musician wouldn't do that.
Yes.
You know, the true musician still has to eat.
Exactly. I mean, look at the big musicians and the like all the stars that, I mean, they are.
I know. I love, you know, when you go back through and you're like, oh, this person wrote that. Well, that's pretty cool.
Exactly. Exactly. And first and foremost, like the pop music stars, they're good business people.
Right. Right.
They know how to sell themselves, you know?
Right. You know, and you bring up something very important because I think it is extremely important. And I don't care, you know, what you are doing, but I think it's especially important for performers, musicians, composers, people like that. You and I'm gonna put athletes in there too, because you have that focus of what you do, but you have to know at least some basic business law. You know, is this you know a contract you should be signing, or do you just sign your life away? You know, you need to know some financial. I mean, how every day it seems like we read about how somebody lost all their money because their accountant is now in Belize,
or wherever. Exactly.
You know, and you know, it's not just you because in essence, you're managing and running. You're the CEO of a company.
Yes.
And so you have to know, okay, there's payroll. There's, you know, you mentioned collaboration. I mean, you know, if you're kind of the lead point, I mean, you're going to have to pay those people, you know, all of those various things. So you have to have at least some basic business knowledge.
Yes, exactly. And I think good stewardship in like the business sense makes you also more attractive to potential clients, prospects, because they know, okay, you pay your people good money and you pay on time and you just have a different attitude also. If you're not struggling all the time money-wise, then you can be much more open to projects that you maybe just like to do and don't pay that much. And you also, I always say that they, on the other side, they smell if you need money.
Right. Yeah. Desperation. Everybody knows when somebody's desperate.
So I think coming from a standpoint where you have like a, even if it's only small, like stable income from, let's say, production music, then you have a, such a different standing because you can say no to stuff. And I think this is a very powerful leverage tool to be able to say no to jobs that don't pay enough or not just not interesting. And this is what you then get taught in school. You just like do this, learn how to write music and be good at that. And then it, the other things will come. And that's just not true. You have to know how to set yourself up for success with a stable income. I think a stable income is something that I always strive for. I'm now fortunate enough at the point where it's like, I don't have to worry about money. So this way other bigger projects come to me. I don't have to do anything. It's just bigger because I can talk differently to people, to my prospects.
Yeah. And as you said, you know, people know when somebody is desperate, but they also want to work with someone who is okay, you know, because, you know, you're not going to be thinking, I need to be doing something else. You know, you're going to be able to focus on their project. And as you said, you know, if you're paying other people, you know, say producer of movie X wants to know that you're going to pay those people on time because they need them too. You know, they certainly don't want them coming to them saying, hey, we haven't been paid or quitting. You know, and so they want to see that you run a good business.
Yes. And also the industry is so small.
Oh, yeah. It's start, a very like, small world.
So people know, and it's harder to get around that people know you for the good stuff. But if you do some bad things or like just like slip up a couple of times, this gets around very quickly.
Well, especially in, you know, as you said, it's a small world. But in this day and age of social media, you know, it doesn't take too much for, you know, word to get out there. And the problem is it might not be accurate, you know, and, and but, you know, so yeah, it's just best to, you know, set things up as best you can.
Doesn't mean that you don't, you can make mistakes, but then own them. If you make them, own them and learn from them and just be really humble and say, I apologize for stuff you did not good. Or if you, I mean, it happens to all of us, to the best of us, they make mistakes. And I think it makes you a bigger man or woman if you own up to them and just say, eh, I'm sorry, I did this wrong and or this happened or whatever. But be open in communication.
Yeah, you know, say, you know, say you got ill and so you didn't meet some deadlines. You know, you just need to tell people, I'm really sorry, but here is how I will fix it. I mean, that's always the thing.
Solutions also.
You know, you, and I mean, and obviously there are times where it's like, no, you know, this is not going to work. I mean, it's like any type of employment where, you know, but you need to watch that, especially in the small world, because then you'll be known as, you know, the diva, you know, or all those other things. You know, so, you know, you try and do the best you can.
Another thing for the diva stuff, I mean, as an artist, sometimes you just like your stuff so much that you don't not open for feedback or stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like we were saying, it's your baby.
And of course it is. But the cool thing is you can shape this baby and make it better for the project, you know. And I think if you're good in communication, owning up your mistakes and being good at like settled in like in a kind of financial way and you're open to feedback, will set you up for success instantly and also puts you apart, takes you apart from like 90%, 95% of artists out there.
You know, it's funny. I was remembering back to my college days again. And it was an English class and we got our papers back and, you know, he'd been very liberal with the red pens on our papers. I mean, you know, we all looked at it. And he, you know, he could tell that we were all like, oh my gosh, you know, and he said, they're just words. They're not your babies. And so it is kind of the same thing. They're just notes. They're not your babies, you know, but it's that fine line, you know, because you want that passion in there. You know, but you do have to remember, okay, you know, it is, you know, hopefully not life or death type of situation.
No, normally not. I mean, you should redirect your passion towards the project, not so much towards your stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you do that, it will not only make you happy because you can collaborate with these people again, mm-hmm. but also make the people that you work with happy and also make the whole project just a success. Mm-hmm. And this collaborative aspect mm-hmm. is just so, as I mm-hmm. said so many times, mm-hmm. collaboration, it's mm-hmm. very important to be like doing this together mm-hmm. if you want to be in media, music, or mm-hmm. film music or something.
Well, and you know, you mentioned, you know, and again, the small world, you mm-hmm. know, I'm sure you have producers who come back to mm-hmm. you every time. You yes. have, you know, and it's just like, you know, a director says, I want this actor, actress in everything I do, mm-hmm. you know, and because they know how you work. They know, you know, not only how you work, they know the quality of your work, all of those various things. Mm-hmm. And why go with an unknown entity when this one works?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you're not known from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So you have to make yourself known. Mm-hmm. And I think if you keep all these in mind, what we just talked about, like mm-hmm. getting feedback and be collaborative in nature mm-hmm. and have a good attitude towards a project mm-hmm. and you will get known.
Right.
Because these are all traits that mm-hmm. that makes you professional.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I mentioned in your bio, and we alluded to it again, that you're an educator. Tell us, you know, that, you know, tell us, you know, what that means.
Yeah. So my passion at the moment, like this is my passion project. Mm-hmm. I had a huge success with production music, which is like I create music for a publisher and they then sell it or offer it to TV stations and radio stations and they sync the music. So they do basically the marketing and I just mm-hmm. have to write, which is awesome.
Cool.
I have like, as I said, thousands of placements every year from that. And this makes also my.
So that's why portion. Things sometimes sound the same. It's like, oh.
Yes. It's all my music. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, this makes a big portion of my income, mm-hmm. my yearly income. And I wanted to help people achieve the same success as I did. And I have have this method of mm-hmm. getting them to, and I just finished one of my courses. Mm-hmm. And they, in 6 weeks, they all got a publisher.
Wow.
Without ever thinking about doing this. Mm-hmm. So, and what this means is opens up so many doors because now mm-hmm. they have a new collaborator mm-hmm. as someone who actually wants their music. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so much validation first, but also mm-hmm. they will start earning money from royalties.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is my passion project. And mm-hmm. I want them to, what I said before, have a stable income, mm-hmm. the predictable income, mm-hmm. so they can focus on the stuff they want to do. Mm-hmm. Don't have to go.
I was just thinking of you being the maestro. And you're kinda getting them through this process.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, it's about relationships mm-hmm. and then it's productivity. And then you have to monetize all mm-hmm. these things, right?
Right. So this is a program that you offer folks?
Yes, I offer this folks twice a year.
Okay.
It's cohort based. So it's live mm-hmm. teaching. Two times a week for mm-hmm. 5 weeks.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I basically guide them through the process. Mm-hmm. I guide them. They get feedback on their tracks. They mm-hmm. basically get taken by the hand mm-hmm. and then come with nothing and go out with a publishing contract mm-hmm. and an album of tracks that they sign to them. Mm-hmm. And we have this community behind it, which is great, where you can actually be open and like to get feedback from them and all people coming from the same stage. Mm-hmm. So they know where you're coming from. So it's all very open and non-judgmental. It's like mm-hmm. a very helpful community mm-hmm. back in the back end. Yeah.
I love it. Well, and I'm guessing that they discover that they can work together well also. You know, this person has this skill, this person has this skill. And hey, you know, we already know each other. So let's collaborate.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have one who is a very good guitar player, but mm-hmm. not so connected or didn't have much success with composing. Then I told him, okay, just try, find composers that you can collaborate with.
Right.
You play the guitar their for music. Their tracks. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this way he got placements from, and they split the royalties. And so he got placements from this stuff, also got introduced to this company. So he now can work for the company as well. So which is, yeah, it's great.
Right. I love it. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to talk about the wrong way that businesses and people use music. You know, we think, I bought it from iTunes, so I own it. I can do what I want with it. You know, or I've heard it, you know, everybody's playing it, you know, and all these things. And of course, copyright applies. We can't just, it's just like an image that we see on the internet. We can't just go, okay, I don't care that it's a Picasso. I can put it in my, you know, in my marketing brochure.
Yes.
Why is that so important that, that we make sure that we as the end user are not, in essence, stealing from people?
Yes. I mean, I think if you are a business owner and you go have someone go into your shop and just take, I don't know, a can of milk or something and just walking out the door, you wouldn't like that.
Right.
So that's the same with music. I mean, only because it's digital and it's not very something you can touch. Mm-hmm. It's still the person who wrote the music and produced the music owns this music. Mm-hmm. And so it's just wrong to take music and use it for your own promotion or your own stuff somehow. I mean, you can listen to it on iTunes, of course. That's why iTunes is actually there. And you pay money for that. So people can, people that have music on iTunes get a tiny little part of that. So I just think, so not only is it wrong, but it's also dangerous, I think. If you use music from iTunes for your small, like little commercial or image film for your business, you can get sued, and this is,
and you can get sued for big money.
Yes,
I knew. Yeah. I know somebody who was sued for $100,000 because they used some images off of someone else's website.
Wow. Yeah. So of course, I mean, and this is absolutely good that it is this way.
Right.
And when I was working in the agency world, we had a client with this James Bond themed commercial, and they also wanted the composer compose a James Bond theme kind of thing. And of course, the people who own the rights to the James Bond music
said, "No, that's too similar.
That's too similar. Either give me $100,000 or you have to take it down from the stations," which is like, so they paid the money.
Yeah.
In the end.
Well, so. And I think people assume, you know, I bought that song from iTunes.
Yeah.
Therefore, I can, in the fine print, it's single use, you know, private, you know, all sorts of things. And so, there's certainly a lot of places where you can get music. I mean, like the music that I use at the start and the end of this program.
Yeah.
I have the rights to it.
Exactly.
That means somebody else could have it too. I mean, it's just like images. You know, you can pay a heck of a lot more and have exclusive, you know, or you can have someone like you compose it for them. But yeah, you know, that's, so don't just think, well, I bought it on iTunes or I've got it on CD so I can put it. No.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with the iTunes stuff, you're not even allowed to share your music that you bought on iTunes with other people, right? So they have to buy it themselves generally. So, and this is just a different license model. And if you want to license, let's say, a Michael Jackson song, you have to pay the Beatles, Paul McCartney, basically, these days.
I know. Yeah, that's the other thing. All these things where your ex-artist is selling,
Exactly. And this is why people come to me and ask me for a similar kind of style, because I'm much cheaper and it's also a one-stop shop.
Right. And if you buy music probably, as we said, exclusive, you know, so if, you know, when somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, Sebastian, we've got this new little marketing piece that is going to play on our website. We might run it as an ad. We need you to do the music for it." Nobody's going to have that music anywhere else.
Exactly. No one has the music if you buy the exclusive rights. And then also, you don't have any problems with YouTube taking it down or Facebook taking it down or getting sued, getting a letter from any lawyer, and
I know. Okay, those are the only IRS letters are the only other scary thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, I think it's very important to be aware of that, and also think about like how you would feel if someone steals from your shop.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, oh my gosh, Sebastian, I knew we were going to have so much fun doing this. You know, and we've only got about 5 minutes left. So tell us how people connect with you and how you work with people. You know, what are the services that you provide?
So my main focus is custom music creation for any kind of media, like your YouTube intro, YouTube video podcast intros as well, like the music part, and of course, movies, commercials for TV. Everything that has to be done in terms of custom music, my main sauce. So this is what I like to do most. I offer ancillary services like audio editing, if you need like, or voiceover stuff, all this, like all the sound, audio stuff in terms of mediums, I offer that. So if you need music or a voiceover guy or a just your audio cleaned up, this is my services.
Okay, great. And your website is sebastianwatzinger.com.
Exactly.
Pretty. And folks, it really is spelled pretty much just like it sounds. Exactly. You know, and so it's not too stressful to try and find that.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you've built such a great career around this. You know, and I can't wait. I mean, at some point I'm gonna be watching one of those awards programs and your name's gonna be up there, right? Won't that be so much fun? I can say, ooh.
Yeah,
you know, like
that
when
would be
you go,
awesome.
Hey, I wrote that music, I can say, oh my gosh, I interviewed him.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, I'm working very hard to achieve that at some point. Not that I do it only for that, but it's fun to be on the stage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to get one of those trophies. And, you know, And of course, there's different levels. I mean, there's all sorts of things. But yeah, I mean, that would be so cool.
Yes. And I'm still young, so I can have lots of time.
Right.
And
right. So. Mm-hmm. Well, do you have any final thoughts for everyone?
So, I mean, I think that as an artist, making money is a good thing, and you should definitely consider taking any course. If you want to have my help, you can go to my website as well and just reach out. But don't let other people tell you that artistry has to be with no money involved, because it's just not true. You can be an artist and also business person at the same time. And if you want to if you use music in your work, consider like signing up with one of these companies that actually have very cheap prices already, or just hire someone and just be honor what they achieved and honor their work, basically.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to take a risk here because I didn't listen to all your songs. And so I'm going to play one as we end. It's called Dominate the World, which I think is very appropriate for this, right?
That's good.
And so, you know, this has been, I'm going to go ahead and start this. This has been absolutely wonderful. I've had so much time, so much fun talking with Sebastian Watzinger. I'm Deb Creer. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.